This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a change of course, federal regulators want to let the internet have both coach and first class.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Constant Contact, whose toolkit provides online marketing resources along with a support staff of live coaches. More at ConstantContact.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Federal Communications Commission is signaling that it's prepared to step away from the idea of so-called net neutrality. It's set to propose new rules that lets internet companies create a fast lane for the content of business partners. Marketplace's tech correspondent Quina Kim is following this. Quina, who are potential winners and losers here?
Broadband companies might say consumers win because they'll be able to bring faster, more robust services to the market. So, for example, if Hulu wants to transmit video over a faster connection, broadband providers could charge more to offer that. And you could say established tech companies like Netflix and Google's YouTube sort of win because they can afford to pay these tolls, and that gives them a competitive advantage against upstarts. Net neutrality advocates say these rules will also stifle innovation, and the idea of the internet as this marketplace for ideas where everybody is given equal access to start businesses or spread ideas. And they'd see consumers who will probably end up eating the extra costs will lose too.
Quina, thank you. Bloomberg News is reporting that General Electric is in talks to buy a French company that makes trains, everything from high-speed bullet trains to pokey New York subway cars. Bloomberg reporter Matthew Campbell is based in London.
One of the reasons that U.S. companies like GE want to make acquisitions in Europe is they have large amounts of cash that's actually stranded offshore. U.S. tax law says if they do try and repatriate it, they have to pay a lot of tax on it. The more specific element to General Electric is this effort to build up in manufacturing, and an acquisition of Alstom would be a very firm statement that that's where GE sees its future rather than in this financial engineering.
GE could pay an estimated $13 billion for Alstom. Now let's do some other numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.7%. Dow and S&P futures are up, but the NASDAQ future is really up 1.5% right now. And now a connection between the future of the environment and the future of student loans. It starts with a new statue this year in Washington. Marketplace's economics fellow Chris Farrell has been reflecting on the significance. Morning, Chris.
Good morning to you.
So on Capitol Hill, in Statuary Hall, you see Sam Houston, Helen Keller, Daniel Webster's statue. But there's this new one from the last couple of weeks. Norman Borlaug, remind me again.
He's the father of the Green Revolution, got the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. And he grew up on a farm in Iowa, and he came to the University of Minnesota. And that's when he began his great work that really transformed the way we think about agriculture in much of the developing world.
Now, his success was due in part to his education, which was in turn due to an interesting federal program that he took advantage of during the Great Depression.
Absolutely. So he comes to the University of Minnesota, and the only way he could get through during this period of the Great Depression was a bunch of emergency programs. And the one that he really highlighted, it was the National Youth Administration, or the NYA. And the part of the program that he benefited from was money went to university professors, and they hired you to do work. And I think that was something we really need to admire and to build upon.
Because what we have now are student loans, sometimes subsidized by the government, sometimes not. And there are students who will argue that those are a kind of indentured servitude after a while.
Well, they are. And then, you know, the student loans keep getting bigger. And we all know that, you know, if you have a lot of debt, you know, that really weighs on you. It affects the way that you approach the world and the job market. And we do have this work study program, and that's been around for a long time. And there's been some proposals for expanding it. So I think we're having this national dialogue about too much debt. And we're also having a national dialogue that we're worried once again about a lost generation, people who just aren't getting the kind of jobs that they need. So what if we just take the model of the NYA and think about student financial aid as a work study broadly defined for the new era?
Chris Farrell keeps a close eye on economics for us at Marketplace. Chris, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Zillow, with homes for sale, historical pricing data, and photos available on Zillow.com or its family of apps. Zillow, find your way home. By Battelle, solving what matters most in national security, health and life sciences, energy, and the environment. More at Battelle.org. And by Citrix, with GoToMeeting, connecting people in face-to-face online meetings so they can collaborate from anywhere. More at GoToMeeting.com.
One of the world's iconic restaurants comes back from the dead tonight. New York's Tavern on the Green reopens after years of closure. New owners hope to bury its reputation as a tourist trap and make money recapturing its old magic, Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
The story of Tavern on the Green starts here in the part of Central Park called the Sheep Meadow. What became a restaurant was originally for them.
They designed that building as the Sheepfold.
Architectural historian Barry Lewis remembers the restaurant's glory years in the 70s and 80s.
It was quite a showpiece, and I loved it.
It didn't last. New York Magazine chief restaurant critic Adam Platt visited before it closed.
The food was indifferent. Colors of the formerly famous rooms were faded.
As workers sweep up and stock the bar, nothing looks faded. The owners have spent millions renovating.
It was a lot of money.
Give me a round number.
$12 million from us.
Jim Keola and his partner need a lot of annual revenue to stay on track.
Minimum $24 million.
Platt's eager to see if they can pull it off.
Restaurateurs don't tend to take these big gambles anymore. So I'm looking forward to it.
The Tavern on the Green team hopes the big bet on the past has a future. In Central Park, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And a note on Apple's decision yesterday to split its stock 7-1 by slicing and dicing. Apple makes more of its stock, but the total is initially worth the same. So why do companies like to split, you ask? It's like having the money to buy a couple of slices of pizza, but maybe not the whole pie. Right now, before the split, if you said, broker, buy me 100 shares of Apple, it would cost you $53,000. That's like that fancy new Alfa Romeo. Who's got that kind of money? Broker, buy me 100 shares of Apple after the split would cost you less than $7,500, like a used Corolla. Okay, so you buy. Does a stock split actually push up a stock price? Well, looking at the research, the answer is nobody knows. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
How can you measure productive interaction with your colleagues at work? Easy, through your company ID badge.
I mean, the whole reason we're in companies is because together we can do something that we couldn't do by ourselves.
I'm David Gura. We'll tell you how some good conversation can help your work performance next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.